Australian True Crime. The live show is coming.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
The producers of this podcast recognise the traditional owners of the land on which it's recorded. They pay respect to the Aboriginal elders past, present, and those emerging.
The following podcast contains content of a graphic, violent nature and is not suitable for children.
The thing that's so shocking about the Britney Spears case is this was happening in full view. It was happening in full view of the world. I actually never bought another magazine after the 2007 documentation of Britney Spears' breakdown. I never bought any items then. I thought it was really wrong. I was thought, wow, there's someone asking for help and all you want to do is take a picture. Don't take a picture, like help her. That's what she's asking for.
Do you remember when you first started thinking about Britney Spears as a victim? Do you remember when you started thinking that jokes about her mental breakdown in 2007, about her shaving her head and attacking a paparazzo's car with an umbrella after losing custody of her children, weren't funny? Do you remember when you started to think that her father having control over her life, her career and her money was disturbing? Or when you started to wonder if maybe she really was sending distress signals through her weird Instagram posts? Kat Foster is the Associate Director of the 50-50 Foundation, which works towards establishing equal representation of men and women in key decision-making roles at all levels of governance in Australia by 2030. She wrote a fantastic piece for the University of Canberra's online agenda about the profound effect that Britney Spears' story has had on her and on women around the world who can relate, because they too are living lives in which their basic rights have been stripped away from them by their partners or other family members. She joins us to talk about it.
I just think that this played out over 13 years with everyone seeing it. And the really uncomfortable thing about those documentaries is all these people who were doing interviews and voicing their concerns. And it's like, what did you do to help her? And especially the men who kind of looked down the barrel at the camera, who had intimate relationships with her and shared really personal things and letters that she had written about her situation, and said, I'm going to read this now, 10 years after the fact. You didn't help her. And your closing statement is, she doesn't have anyone in her life she can trust. How sad is that? Yeah, you're exactly that person. So that was one of the things that I was thinking about a lot, that a lot of different men got a platform on this issue and she didn't. Actually, the documentary makers didn't speak to her.
Well, were they able to, though? I mean, the sense I got was that they were, that they tried and that they would love to have, but I don't know that for certain.
Yeah, look, I'm not sure, because Britney Spears' own statements about it is that she's frustrated at how she's been betrayed in them. Right. And so I wonder then if perhaps there could have been more of an effort to communicate with her and to understand her side of the story, and probably also how she felt about it, I think is really important.
Maybe like me, they just assume that you can't get to Britney, so they didn't try, but I don't know. Yeah. That's conjecture on my part.
Yeah. Because, I don't know. But I did find it disturbing how she's documented quite clearly the distress that these documentaries have caused her.
But then on the other side, to play devil's advocate, I feel like without the documentaries, would we be here where we are?
Absolutely. And that's, I think, the duality of her story, isn't it? Like, I think it can't probably be resolved. It is a deeply, deeply personal story, as any victim of domestic and family violence's story is their own, and it is their own story to tell. But in her unique situation, when that can't be facilitated, is it good that this awareness has been raised? I can't answer that. I think that but you do feel uncomfortable when you participate in it, particularly when you see that the subject of all the conversations is incredibly distressed by the discourse.
I have to admit that I think you were way, way ahead of your time in 2007, because I certainly was not in a place where I understood or where I was mature enough to see what was happening for what it was when she was having her breakdown. I laughed at the jokes about Britney, you know, banging the paparazzo's car with her umbrella. I didn't understand what was happening. I was well and truly an adult. You know, I was trying to be a good person and trying to be a good media person. But, you know, if something like that were happening now, of course, certainly I think I would be seeing it for what it was. But at the time, no, I was not. And to look back now, yes, and you see grown men on their Tonight shows making jokes about it, it makes me sick to my stomach. But I think, no, I'm sure at the time I was at least fascinated in the worst way, if not laughing.
Oh, absolutely.
Mm. And it's very disturbing, isn't it?
Well, I saw the pictures that I think it was on, you know, one of the weekly publications, and I saw the photos when I was in the shops. And I remember this specifically. And it was her in the ocean in Malibu in her underwear jumping around.
Mm.
But what that actual article said, as I was reading it in the line, was, I want help, I need help.
Yeah.
But don't take her picture, like, help her.
Well, the other issue is now, the other issue is that I'm now a parent. Now I fully get that depth of lack of not coping. Now, if I saw a woman in that situation now, especially when we realise she had just been to her ex-partner's house and not been allowed in to see her children.
Yeah.
Wow. Now I see it and hear it very differently.
They were babies.
Mm.
You know, I think, and I'm a parent now too, and I think having that, the thought, if you kind of empathize with just the thought of it, if someone taking your baby off you and saying that's it, you can't see them.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, even a small little kid, it's a baby. Yeah. It's horrific for any mother that happens to. That's horrific. And I don't think that I myself would behave in a fully decorum way either.
No.
And I don't think that I would be reasonable either. But I also don't have 30,000 cameras pointed at me to get my response.
All of that. Now we see it, you know, through these other lenses. All the people that she was hanging out with, And I include the Paris Hiltons and Lindsay Lohans and all of that, and that we see Lindsay then go on and have her own troubles with addiction and all of that. Yeah, it's very upsetting, and I feel part of it, even though that's stupid. But having bought the magazines and laughed at the jokes, yeah, I feel terrible about it, and just having not supported another woman, another mother, and yeah, it's a horrible feeling.
But there's a history of it, right? Because then you look a few years later, look at Amy Winehouse.
Oh God, yeah. And I made jokes about that. I had a blog, and I'll never forget, never forgive myself for just making one half-assed shit joke about putting up a photo of Amy passed out the front of a pub, and all I wrote was, "Oh hey, Amy," like. That's all, you know, and I was just like, oh God, I want to fucking slap myself. It's so awful. Yeah.
And I think it's that women in the public eye, they become these caricatures and you forget they're real people. Like, we've all been there.
Fucking have, mate.
Yeah. We kind of go, oh, that's not a real person who's drunk and passed out or on meth in case of Amy Winehouse. It's not a real person who's screaming and crying, "Don't take my babies away from me," like Britney Spears. That's just this, well, she asked for it because she wants to be famous. And it's such bullshit, right? Like, it's just, it's such a bizarre and non-empathetic way to look at people. And I think there is a change at the moment coming, but it's still pretty awful and pretty intense, the experiences that people have through social media, through traditional media still, who are in the public eye. Absolutely.
And also, I think it would be helpful for us to talk about the concept of triggering, because I find that when we talk about men being triggered, especially when we talk about men in like frontline services and things like that, it's taken so seriously, and as it should be. But when we talk about women being triggered, it's like, oh, harden up. It's like a joke.
Yeah.
When we talk about, you know, and we obviously have trigger warnings at the beginning of podcasts and stuff. And yeah, a lot of times people joke about, oh, she's triggered. She's probably going to be triggered. Are you triggered? I feel like the Britney Spears story obviously will have triggered a lot of women about, as we talked about earlier, about that idea of being disbelieved and about gaslighting and all of those things and being controlled and silenced. And the things that you're talking about now, about that kind of public silencing. Let's talk about that, about being a woman who's not famous, who's not being chased by paparazzi, but who really, it's hard to say to somebody, oh, I feel like I know how Britney Spears feels, and have them not go, what? That's a stupid thing to say, not feel stupid in saying that.
But I think it's when you strip it back, right? There may be a difference in financial situation, but actually not really. When you consider the control of her finances and the financial abuse that she had.
Yeah.
These are just real things that happen to everyone. And it's not, normalizing is the wrong word, but I think saying that this can happen to anyone and you're not alone. And you can feel that way when you read about it. And she says, I had no money. My access to my kids were getting taken away. If I did anything that stepped out of line, I could not see my children. There were the constant threats. Any woman who doesn't have the added pressure of having that completely photographed and every move recorded, it's the same thing. The mechanics of domestic abuse don't change depending on your social status. They're exactly the same, and the behaviors are the same. I mean, it's interesting you talk about triggering. I actually watched a show on Netflix called Maid, and it's an excellent show. It's very well written. But in the second episode, when she was talking about, she went to the social worker, and the social worker said, well, why don't you go to the police? And she said, well, and say what? He didn't hit me. But like, that really triggered a panic attack in me that I haven't had for years. Years I haven't had a panic attack like that, but it was that capturing that emotion of being suffocated, being not believed. And when I went to the police in my own situation, and they basically said the same thing, they said, well, there's no physical abuse, so see you later. go fend for yourself. And I think that when you have, like, in the case of Britney Spears, you know, you have this woman who's saying these things, who's wanting to be believed. She had an advocate who was paid $3 million US to advocate for her, who did nothing, who didn't listen to her, who didn't give her a voice. And in her own statement to the court, she said, "I haven't come to court for a long time because I didn't think I'd be taken seriously or listened to." How is a victim survivor who simply does not have that same kind of social power going to feel when these systems exist and they repress people?
And unfortunately, you'll hear something like that and you'll think, well, then why would I?
Well, what chance do I have if someone who has the financial means, in theory, to sort of to fight it and the visibility?
And she even has a supportive partner.
Yeah, totally. Exactly.
Can I tell you about The Maid? I had two friends say to me, "Oh, you should watch The Maid." "Oh, no, you shouldn't, actually. It'll trigger you." And I watched a bit of the first scene, and I just went, and nothing even happened in it. And I went, no.
They did a very good job of capturing the stillness,
yeah,
and the fear and the quiet. Yeah. And I mean, I've worked in the sector. I worked in the sector for many years, and so I definitely know all the self-care and how to think about things. And if I feel like I'm going to panic about something, but this was so unexpected that I kind of went, this is not a story for me. I've lived this story. I don't actually need to now watch it. But I'm certainly glad that programs like this, awareness about these kind of issues is becoming to the forefront and being more openly discussed, because people should know. You still hear all the time, "Oh, well, was it that bad?"
Yeah, right? Well,
yeah, it was. It was. And yes, did the person hit you? No, they didn't hit me, but I was terrified. "Oh, well, what does that mean?" And you still have that attitude. You still have that attitude in the systems that are designed to protect people in that situation.
And also that financial abuse is really fascinating too. A lot of people don't understand financial abuse, and a lot of women don't understand for a long time that they're being abused.
No. I mean, it's really, I think there was a victim survivor, his name's Russell Vickery, that I heard speaking at a conference, and he said, you know, it's really interesting. People say, "Well, why didn't you just leave?" And he said, "Well, it's not like he punched me in the face on the first date and that's it. You know, maybe it does make sense to have a joint account. Maybe it does make sense to, you know, do all those things, and it's insidious. And by the time you realize, great, I have no access to credit cards. I have no access to my own money.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what to do. You're so deep into a cycle. How do you remove yourself, especially if you have kids?
Yeah, and certainly in some cases, and Britney Spears is a classic example, it's her dad.
It's her dad.
It's not even, you know, it's not some guy. It's not, "Why don't you leave?" It's my dad. It's my family. Mm-hmm. It's so many family members
who all benefited from her work. I mean, that's the real thing.
We saw the same in the Whitney Houston case as well.
Everyone benefited, you know. And I think that's the most awful thing. And, you know, allegedly her father said, "She's just a racehorse who needs to be whipped into shape." I mean, how honestly horrific. That's your daughter. Like, I can't imagine. And then to have every other person stand by and collect their paycheck from her work. No, she didn't have permission to spend any money. It must have been incredibly rage-inducing.
Well, and heartbreaking
and such betrayal. Like, I think, you know, when we try and sort of understand the mechanisms of it all, I said it in the article, and I believe that now, the only words we should be listening to her from now on are her own. She should be able to tell her story how she wants. And it is the saddest thing. When it was announced that her father was removed as her conservator, she put up a Christmas tree. and did an Instagram shot and said she's waited so long for this situation to end. Mm. She got constantly told that if she did the right thing and if she behaved, this is a woman who's 39, nearly 40, if she behaved, the situation would end, and it never did. And she said, I'm now so afraid to do anything in case I'm judged and in case I make a mistake. How awful.
Oh, God. That was the thing. That was the thing for me, the fear of making a mistake. That really got me in the guts. That landed different, as people say now.
Yeah, it did.
That landed different for me.
It hit differently.
It hit differently because she's afraid to do anything now. She's paralyzed by fear now because she's been so convinced that she's been infantilized. And I feel as though she was more mature in the beginning. I feel now when we see interviews of her at 16, 17, 18, she was so much more confident. She was so much more erudite, so much clearer in the way she presented herself. It felt like she was, you know, really, really worldly.
Hmm.
And focused. And when we see her and hear her now, it feels like she's infantilized and afraid.
Yeah. And, you know, if you look at the history of the case as well, the only time that they ever had a co-conservator of person, so there's a co-conservator of estate, co-conservator, and then a conservator of person, was her partner with her father made a co-conservator of her person.
Who was that?
So that was her ex-fiance. His name was Jason. And I just thought there's so much wrong with that.
Yeah.
That a partner becomes in charge of person. Like, so many pitfalls that could go wrong there. so much risk.
It's medieval. It's positively medieval. Yeah. Like her husband to be and her father in charge of her.
In charge of her person,
everything,
you know, and I, again, you know, and we talked about this on Broad Agenda earlier as well, that this is not a new discussion for women with a disability.
Yes.
You know, this is something that women with a disability live with on a daily basis. They live with this idea that they can't make decisions for the person and they have to rely on someone else. And when we consider that, the statistic is shocking and I would need to check it, but I saw it at 2019 at the National Stop Domestic Violence Conference that something like 94% of women who've had a disability have been subjected to abuse in Australia.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
There's a 24-hour national hotline that provides free counselling for any Australian who has experienced or is at risk of family and domestic violence and or sexual assault. It's 1-800-RESPECT. That's 1-800-737-732. 1-800-RESPECT also recognises that financial abuse is a form of domestic and family violence. Financial abuse can include many things, like controlling and preventing your access to money, stopping you from getting a job, or forcing you to get loans you don't want. Financial abuse can also occur with other forms of violence and abuse. 1-800-RESPECT provides support for people experiencing financial abuse. That's 1-800-737-732. Individuals can also access local support services and search the internet using DAISY, a free app developed by 1-800-RESPECT that protects user privacy. But if you're in immediate danger, call 000 for police and ambulance help. Thank you to our patrons Angela Hornman, Nicole Ralston, Dawn, Tamara, Joe G, and Holly Cook.
We spoke to Nick Lee not long ago, whose husband was her carer and was sexually assaulting her daily. And she eventually had him convicted of that sexual assault. But my God, what a story.
Nicole's a friend of mine, yeah. And she's a truly, truly amazing human being.
Yeah, she is.
And the work that she does now to raise awareness about these issues for other women in a similar situation, it's just incredible.
And you're right, so similar in the way that her children were held against her, this idea that she would never, ever gain custody of them if she were to leave the relationship, all of the things that were held against her. To the extent that he said to her, you can't reach the back door. How would you ever survive without me? You can't unlock the back door. You need me to do that. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just heartbreaking. It's horrific.
It's horrific. And it's horrific that systems that are in place that support that rhetoric and narrative, which is completely untrue.
Yeah.
It is completely untrue. But the system supported it. The system said, you're right. We don't need to talk to her. And you've spoken to Nick. She is feisty. She knows her own mind. She knows what she wants.
She's brilliant, but the system reduced her.
And the system reduced her to someone who had no agency.
No, to someone who needed her abuser.
Exactly. Exactly.
Unbelievable to this level of helplessness, the same way that Britney Spears, of all people, this international superstar by the age of 17, was reduced to a helpless child, the state of a helpless child whose father had to speak for her.
Yeah. But who was also told, you will go on stage and perform. You will perform. You will go on stage or we'll see you.
Night you after know? Night after night after night.
Yeah, if you don't.
Yeah, whatever.
You will perform. She performed over 300 concerts globally during this time where she was incapable of making a decision over body or estate.
I mean, even over her own fertility, wasn't that just shocking?
Yeah. She had an IUD placed in and not allowed to remove it. And again, this is something that women with a disability talk about often, the reproductive rights, that the choice is taken away from them as if they can't make a choice, or an educated choice if someone does it for them. Mm. And that's wrong. It's just so wrong. It's so wrong.
What do you make of her posts, her social media posts after her father's relinquishing of his conservatorship, the sexual nature of her posts? What do you make of that? There was a nude post. There was topless, nude. What do you make of that?
In all honesty, I think it's someone who has finally they feel like they have some agency in their life and they're going to celebrate that. And if they want to be sexual, well, she's 40 now. She can do that.
Yeah.
You know, she can get out there and she can make those decisions about her body and she can be the person who decides what's put on display. And so I think there is that, you know, it's almost like that, the popular culture movement of a slut walk, right? It's sort of reclaiming that language, reclaiming that visual, reclaiming it and owning it yourself. Maybe there's an element of that. I don't know. Plus, she's super hot, so.
Yeah, yeah. It reminds me of when I was, you know, a teenager. I mean, really, she's been so suppressed, right?
Totally. Like, I also thought, maybe you don't know how social media works.
She reminds me of when I was a teenager and the girls with the strictest parents always kind of went the hardest, like when they
were absolutely
able to. Yeah. In your own life, how did you get from there to here? Like, how did you, can you speak to your own recovery, if I may use that word, from your relationship, your abusive relationship? How did you gain some confidence? How did you come to understand that you were in an abusive relationship, and what does your recovery look like?
Well, I'm very lucky. I have the most amazing parents in the entire universe.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I was sitting across from my dad not long after the relationship had ended, and I was crying and I was shaking. And I said, I don't know who I am. I don't know who I am. I don't know how to be on my own. I've forgotten who I am. And I think that for my father was an incredibly distressing. We've talked about it recently, actually. And he said it was probably the most distressed he's been in his life. And he said to me, I remember he put his hand across the table and he said, I will never let you forget who you are. And it was, you know, I left my job. I was in Sydney. I quit my job. I moved home to my parents' house and I based in Canberra. And I basically recovered. I went to therapy. I took lots of walks. I read lots of books. Eventually, I decided I want my life to be about something positive. So I moved to Vanuatu and took a job with the Red Cross, a volunteer position with the Red Cross. And I loved it. That was truly the discovery of self. It was how I realized this is what I want to do with my life. Like, I want to make the world better, and that's who I want to be. And again, it was lots of thinking about the situation I was in, lots of trying to understand how it had occurred, understanding the mechanics of it. And then I think when I arrived at Lifeline Australia and I sort of arrived in the DV Lit program, I had a wonderful mentor called Kelly Dunn, who kind of took me under her wing and helped me really unpack my story for the first time ever. And that was, again, just another leap and bound in healing, and helped me understand how it fit. Because I always kind of thought, oh, well, you know, I'm from a good family. Like, this couldn't be an abusive relationship. It was just a bad relationship. And until I actually understood the mechanics of it all, I went, oh, okay, hang on. This is actually something called coercive control.
And I'm going to say that Australian Family Court supports abusive relationships. I'm going to say that family court doesn't understand the various modes of abuse.
I would agree with you. And I would probably say that there needs to be a deeper understanding. And actually, I firmly believe after the kind of what we thought was sort of the moment of reckoning in March of this year with the Women's March, we need a set of, from the federal government, we need a set of definitions for what constitutes as domestic abuse.
Domestic and family violence.
Talk them out. Let's have them so there is a guideline.
Yeah.
I think part of the problem is, and this is from my work in DV Alert, but also some of the work that I've done since then, is that there seems to be this idea that whoever is dealing with a victim survivor has to have a moral opinion either way. You don't. There is actually no moral opinion.
Yeah.
You have to approach it with a neutral framework. And that's what's missing.
There's definitely financial abuse is definitely thriving through the family court, I think.
Absolutely.
People who use the family court as a tool of financial abuse.
Absolutely. And I know experiences where that's occurred.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And, you know, $500,000 in lawyer fees later, still no resolution.
Yeah. So can I ask, was your father aware, by the way, of the depth of what was happening in your relationship before that moment?
No, not at all.
No.
Not at all. Had they have been aware, they would have
done
stuff. But again, it's that whole thing. One, it's embarrassing.
Yes.
Two, you don't really know what's happening. You don't really understand because you're being gaslighted. I love you. And if you didn't do this, then I would love you more. But also I wanted my family to like that person. And I knew, and I knew that if I vocalized the situation, perhaps they wouldn't.
And they would never again, too. They Correct. Would never again. So you can't go back once you say anything, right? Yeah.
And that's the thing. Like, that didn't trigger enough in me to go, if you're really worried about that, perhaps this isn't a great situation.
Yeah.
I was very lucky. I had one of my dearest friends, Joel, who said to me on New Year's Eve, the year before this relationship ended, he said to me, I've known you for so long and it's breaking my heart. He said, I don't know how I can be friends with you anymore. I can't see you anymore.
Mm.
I see you and you're not there. And I don't know what to do. I just can't keep coping with it though, because it's really hurting me as well. And that was the first time that I kind of went, do you know what? Maybe something isn't right here.
Jeez, that's a brave friend.
He's a brave friend. I will be forever grateful. I mean, he's been one of my best friends for 16 years. We've talked about this a lot. We've unpacked what happened around that time. And it took a lot of courage for him to do that. And I am incredibly grateful and will be forever that he did that.
God, good on you, Joel.
Yeah, he's a ledge.
And good on you. This Britney Spears piece is so great because I think there is a real temptation to, again, to minimise the Britney Spears effect. And that has been happening for the entirety, you're so right, for this 17 years, the minimisation of what's been happening to her and to sort of make light of it. And the chipping away of that has been, you know, there are some people that we have to really hold up and say, good for you for, you know, keeping the pressure on and saying, no, we have to look at this. This is serious. Something is happening to this woman in front of all of us. And it's really shit that we're not talking about it and taking it seriously. We cannot let this happen to this woman. We let this happen to people in broad daylight because they're famous and we think they're characters. We think they're two-dimensional. They're not. They're people.
And that we can't possibly understand their experience because we're going, well, we don't have that kind of money, so we don't know. Actually, we can empathize with someone, particularly if we understand the mechanics, for example, of family violence.
Yeah, because she is calling for help. You know, a lot of times people are lying. People are saying, no, I'm fine, when they're clearly not. But she is saying, help me.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, I mentioned that I was a big fan of her music. Yeah. I feel very uncomfortable listening to music that was made during her conservatorship, because when you listen to the lyrics, I mean, you said it before, they kind of hit differently. You know, there's a song called Work Bitch, and it's like, you want a hot body, you want to do this, you want to do this, you better work, bitch. And part of me goes, my God, like, that was her life.
Mm.
That was actually her life. Like, she was told, if you want this, if you want to go out and buy a hamburger, better work, better get on stage, better perform for us. And I kind of thought, wow, you know, maybe it's not that sort of deep, but at the same time, you think you've got to consider those things in terms of the art and the artist who's producing it.
It's, you know what, it's worse if she didn't write it or whatever, if it's not that deep. If she was forced to sing it.
Yeah.
It's awful. Horrible.
It's awful. And then you think her dad, who was in charge of it all, who was in charge of the whole machine, as it were, that was around her, allegedly says, she's just a racehorse who needs to be whipped into shape. It just makes you go, wow. I don't want to be part of that. I don't want to be part of that system.
No.
And I think that was it. Like, we went and saw the circus show in 2009. But of course, no one knew at that stage. I mean, what a conservatorship was, no one knew. But then you read the stories that she was drugged to come down after a show, drugged to go up to do the show. Now, that's not from her, that's from surrounding sources. but they said it was very messy. And you think, God, I participated in that. How awful. Like on reflection, how awful. I'm so sorry. One of my friends actually asked me, we were talking about it when I was writing the article, and he said to me, you know, what would you say to her if you meet her? And all I could think was, I'm just so sorry. I'm right. So sorry.
Yeah.
I can't believe I participated in this system that kept you a prisoner. How awful.
And I remember people were writing books about this happening to Judy Garland 50 years ago.
Yeah. So
it happened almost 100 years ago, but people were exposing it 50 years ago, saying, God, can you believe? And you know who did know this was happening and who everyone goes, oh, she's such a crazy bitch, don't listen to her? Courtney Love, of all people, has been.
Oh, totally. Another musician that I just think is incredible.
Right.
And yet this same situation, and it, actually her husband wrote a story about Frances Farmer, who was an actor in Seattle who was lobotomized.
Another one, yeah, exactly, who that book's been out for 30, 40 years. And, you know, people say, oh, Courtney Love, ugh, what a lunatic, what a drug-addled crazy bitch. You know what? She's a truth talker.
Yeah, 100%.
Courtney just tells the bloody truth, okay? If you want to know the truth, ask Courtney Love because she will tell you.
Totally. And I think, but isn't that the way, though? Look at this kind of history of women who are outspoken, who are a little bit wild.
Yeah.
I mean, Taylor Swift just wrote about another one in her song, who, again, people said was insane, who owned her Rhode Island house. And kind of crazy but outspoken, loved life, lived hugely, but needed to be then controlled, because we don't want women like that.
No.
We don't want women to control their own lives.
And Courtney has been saying Courtney's been saying for a couple of years, this same team of lawyers tried very hard to bring a conservatorship over me. This could have been me. And I didn't let it happen. And my God, she's so right.
It's pretty, yeah.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much, because I think, yeah, you've really given voice to so many women, myself included, who have been feeling these feelings, and I just couldn't kind of put words around it. Like, yeah, I'm triggered by what's by all of this stuff about Britney. So thank you so much.
No worries.
Thank you to our guest, Kat Foster, whose broad agenda piece, They Called Her Lucky, you can read on our Facebook page. There's also a link in our show notes and a link to the 1-800-RESPECT website, and their number again is 1-800-737-732. Thank you to our patrons, Mel Cloisi, Jilly Bean, Criselle East, Sharon Mesnick, Jodie O'Dell and Karim Yunus. And thank you for downloading this episode of Australian True Crime. We'll be back next week.
This has been another Smart Fella production in conjunction with the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Australian True Crime. The live show is coming.